Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio, and we have the pleasure of James Shaughnessy, who is the man at Beulah Fly Rods. James, how long has Beulah been around?
This is our 11th year now.
Okay. And you are, where are your rods made?
We do custom rods. We build custom rods in Oregon, which is kind of how we started. And then we started manufacturing factory rods over in Korea.
Mm-hmm.
So we do a little bit of both U.S. made and overseas. And we've been mostly selling through retail specialty stores. And mm-hmm. we're going to open a custom shop here in the next couple of months.
Oh, cool.
Direct. Yeah.
Well, just so happens I've got at least one Beulah fly rod. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
You know, how I would describe them is you can pay a lot more for fly rods. I mean, I don't know what the top end is, but, you know, there's some big names that get big money. But
yeah.
As far as quality and performance and value, I don't think there's anything close to it.
Well, you know, that's what we try to do is we keep the company small and we try and, you know, we're not making economy rods. We're making, you know, rods with the best possible materials in them that, you know, performance-wise compete with anything out there. But we try and keep the price as low as possible. So they're, you know, in the median to low end of cost. But you're getting the highest possible quality graphite and titanium guides and, you know, anodized real seats and everything you'd expect a $900 rod can get for $500 from us.
Yeah. Well, man, that sounds like a lot. But like you said, is that if it does the same thing, that one is almost twice the price. The other thing I've always believed that when you're buying equipment, whether, you know, whether it's a truck, a tractor, or a reel or a rod, if you pay too little and it doesn't do what you want it to do, then you just threw your money away. But you can still, you know, get good value if you look around.
Right. And then there's every level, you know, beginner level rods. We offer rods for under $300 as well that are, again, you know, you could pay double that for the same performance
mm-hmm.
in a rod. You know, you just have to shop and see what the materials are in the rod and you know, what cast them with people who know how to cast and fish and see what the performance is. But, you know, there's every level,
okay,
price point and performance rod out
well,
there.
Well, James, would you do me a favor and give me a tutorial? Let's go back to bamboo and then find out what's happened since then.
Well, you know, bamboo was a flexible yet strong material that they could bind multi-pieces together in a hexagonal shape, and it would make them lighter but super strong. Then as materials progressed, they started making fiberglass rods, which a lot of spin rods are still made out of. And,
mm-hmm.
Of course, that's a super strong material, although a bit heavy. But they, you know, with trout rods and things like that, you can make a relatively light, what would normally be a fragile rod, very strong because of that material. Then came graphite, which made all the rods significantly lighter and still were able to have the strength. Not quite as strong as a fiberglass rod,
mm-hmm.
but significantly lighter. You could do all kinds of flexes depending on the taper of the material that you cut.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a fiberglass scrim that was used on the graphite together. So still a strong rod, but super light. Now they're getting into all kinds of new resins to use for that bonding agent, like using a graphite-based resin instead of a glass base. So they became even lighter. Now we're getting into nanosilica resins that are making it so that you can have the super, super light graphite material and the high modulus, and yet these nano resins get in all the nooks and crannies and make it so that it's super strong, a lot more powerful than even glass scrim can do. So they've come a long way to make, you know, feather-like fly rods, but yet super strong.
Is that important?
It's very important, especially, you know, when you get into the bigger species like tarpon or marlin or billfish. You know, when you're fishing salt water, sometimes you have to be casting quite a bit. You don't want to be, you know, hammering back and forth with a big, heavy rod, and now you can do it with a light rod and still trust that it's going to, you know, carry through and get that fish to the boat.
Well, the carbon and some of the nanofibers, don't they make the rod brittle? Does it break easier than a fiberglass?
Well, some of the high that is the characteristic of a high modulus graphite. And but what this new resin has done is it's impregnated graphite. And so what this new resin has done is it's filled in all the imperfections, little air bubbles that can get inside the graphite weave, and they've made it so that it's, super strong. We did break tests on our rods. They're breaking, compared to graphite rods from 5 years ago or 10 years ago, they're breaking 30 to 40% stronger than they used to just because of these new resins that they're using.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's go back a little bit to, we talked about the progression of fishing rods. What about the progression of fly fishing overall, especially compared with conventional fishing, conventional reels and rods?
Well, it used to be a fairly trout-based sport, fly fishing was, and that's why it came about, because you're trying to land a tiny imitate an insect that's floating on top of the water. You need to do that with a floating line, and the only way to do that is with a fly rod, because you're not attaching a weight to the end like you would with a spin rod. But over time, the technology in lines and rods has expanded that to, now you can go in salt water, you can fish for species that are deeper using a tungsten impregnated line that's going to sink down. The rods are stronger so that, if you built a 12 weight out of bamboo, you probably won't be able to lift it.
Okay.
Gotcha. With graphite, now you have the ability not only to lift it, but to cast it all day long and bring in, 100-pound tarpon or 100-pound marlin. You can do that now with a fly rod. And I'm sure that, they did it before with bamboo, but it was a lot more difficult to do.
Well, let's also talk about the subject of fly fishing itself. When you're trolling, of course, you just kind of put a line in the water behind a boat. When you're spin casting or bait casting, you're throwing at a particular target, then you wind it in, and then you try and throw it again. But mm-hmm. fly fishing, a little bit different, and you're able to, lift it up and put it right back out. So can you comment on that?
Right. Well, my favorite part of fly fishing is when you're sight casting and target shooting and, starting with a trout that's rising in the same spot to insects that are coming down the river. And you can target shoot, and if he doesn't take it or you haven't spooked it, pick it up and toss it back and get a nice natural drift for it. Mm-hmm. And you can take that same technique and go into salt water where bonefish, you're throwing, they're nosing in the sand, taking shrimp or crabs, and you're mm-hmm. trying to lead them and trick them with a little fly pattern, doing the same sort of thing. You're target shooting for them. There's numerous species you can do that with. But, there's also other ways that you can get fish where you're bringing them into you by bait switching, using, these live sardines like we do in Mexico sometimes, mm-hmm. bring rooster fish closer to the boat and keep them there for a second. And again, then you're sight casting and target shooting. Or marlin, some people will drag teasers and bait switch the teaser for a fly and then cast out the fly. But it's really, sight casting is the exciting part of the sport.
Right. Well, when you're talking about fly fishing for a world record, there's certain specifics that you have to have. First of all, you can't be on a boat. You can't troll for a fish on a fly rod.
You can't troll a fly. There's all right. kinds of rules with leaders and how mm-hmm. you weigh them. And that. My wife actually has 4 rooster fish records. So we've been through
wow.
that.
Yeah. Well, that's impressive.
Yeah.
You know what? If you don't mind, I didn't really want to impose on you, but do you have time to hold over to the next segment?
Sure.
Oh, great. Okay. Well, let's do that because I want to hear about that, and we're going to talk a little bit about maybe some saltwater fly fishing also. But you are listening to Fish Talk Radio. Go to fishtalkradio.com, and right on the front page, you can tune in and listen to James, and we're going to find out a lot more about fly fishing and have some fun. So we'll be right back with you on fishtalkradio.com.
The job that I gave her of cleaning all my fish.
Thank you.
If you are still using a plastic hard shell cooler, things have changed for the better. AO coolers are lighter with twice the efficiency of the traditional bulky coolers. AO coolers are the best available soft-sided cooler with 3/4-inch high-density closed-cell foam insulation. They will keep ice frozen for 24 hours in hot weather. Easy to carry, less space, it fits product inside for better performance. Go to AOCoolers.com to order or find a retailer. Available at West Marine.
For your outdoor adventure in the West, CalParksCO.com is required. CalParks has 24 prime locations for camping, fishing, or boating. Lake Comanche has 54 miles of shoreline and three marinas west of San Francisco, known locally as Monster Lake because of the big fish in abundance. Lake Hemet is surrounded by the majestic beauty of tall pines and giant oaks in the mountains of Southern California, a majestic vacation spot. CalParks Company is your prime location for outdoor adventures in the West.
The East Cape of Baja, Mexico is world famous for sport fishing. Dorado, tuna, wahoo, marlin, sailfish, roosterfish, and pargo. The Van Wormer resorts make dreams come true at a price all can afford. Hotel Palmas de Cortez, Playa del Sol, and Hotel Punta Colorado have the biggest and best sport fishing fleet in all of Mexico. Call toll free to 877-777-TUNA to find out how affordable world-class fishing can be. The finest resorts and the best boats in East Cape. Call 877-777-TUNA.
The road stretches for miles in front of you. And with the Ram 1500, you'll be able to reach mile after open mile. It gets a best-in-class 25 miles per gallon highway, so your destination won't just be determined by your gas gauge, but by your gauge for achievement. And the Ram 1500 is the first-ever back-to-back Motor Trend Truck of the Year. Guts. Glory. Ram. See your local Ram dealer today for great deals. EPA estimated 25 mpg highway based on V6 4x2.
It's time for you to take a real fun adventure. Join a hosted fishing adventure to Alaska or Baja with the staff of Fish Talk Radio. Real Fun Adventures can book you on any adventure you desire. Bring your fishing friends or meet new ones. Fish Talk Radio gets the best deals from our sponsors to give you the best possible price. Real Fun Trips are inclusive, easy, no-worry packages to the most popular fish grounds. Trips start around $600. Go to reelfunadventures.com.
If your feet are happy, you are happy. Soft Science Supreme Comfort Outdoor Footwear will give you happy feet. Durable, lightweight, and supportive, Soft Science Footwear is designed for boating, fishing, or everyday comfort and performance. With history of highest quality, you will be proud to own this revolutionary footwear. SoftScience.com has many types and styles you need to check out. Invest in quality footwear, and you will be happy for many years. Find out why at SoftScience.com.
I said, bet you're going fishing all the time. Maybe going fishing too. Bet your life, your sweet wife, gonna catch more fish than you.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio, and we have James Shaughnessy. By the way, James, where are you located right now?
Well, you know, I live in Oregon, and Beulah is based in Oregon, but I'm on the East Coast fishing for stripers in Connecticut and up to Maine.
Wow.
So well, I've done a lot of fishing this summer. I was just in Mexico last week.
Oh, really? Where?
I was down in the East Cape.
Oh, well,
Baja.
Well. By the way, I've got a trip put together for the beginning of November, so if anybody out there is interested. But I know last week they were getting some a lot of wahoo. And
a lot of marlin.
Marlin, yeah. Your fly fishing, did you get any billfish on the fly?
We did. We got a nice marlin on the fly. We had a couple more shots, and been kind of a different year down there. The water has stayed cooler, and the rooster fish have stuck around. So we had a lot of, you know, usually they're gone by now, and it's Dorado all over the place. But yeah. We had some good rooster fish action as well.
Well, you know what? If you don't mind, let's talk about rooster fish and marlin on the fly. Because, you know, rooster fish are... Well, they're definitely a sport fish. You know, they are very interesting. They fight real hard. I think they're a member of the Jack family, but they fight hard. And what's really kind of cool about them is that they tend to be inshore. And if you've got something in the water, it's kind of like a cruise missile. You see it kind of coming up on it, you know, and then you do the old switcheroo and fly in the water.
Well, that's one way you could, you know, this year, In normal years, you'd have sardines all over the place, and there's nothing better than sardines for teasing them in close to the boat. But like I mentioned, this year, the water was cold, and they kept them on shore, and we were having, you know, 6 to 8 fish a day off the beach.
Wow.
Sight casting to them without, you know, using teasers or anything, just waiting for them to come by. And they were big fish this year. You know, they got, I saw some that were pushing 100 pounds.
Brewster fish?
Rooster fish, yeah. There were, a lot of big fish this year. 60-pounders were kind of common.
A 20, 30-pound rooster fish is huge.
That's a big fish, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
I cannot even imagine something close to that. I didn't know
they
got that big.
This year.
Wow.
Yeah. We hooked a couple that you know, frankly, couldn't stop them.
Mm-hmm.
But there were a lot of fish, and I think the ladyfish brought them. They're big schools of ladyfish this year, and kind of kept them in on the shore.
Was that you, that's the bait?
That's the bait, yeah, for the big ones. That's what the big ones like. And you just kind of follow along those schools as they move up and down the beach. And eventually, if you're lucky, a big rooster fish will come in and attack them. And if you're right place, right time, and can throw that fly quickly, you can get it in the in the school when they're in attack mode and hook one up.
Well, let's talk about marlin. I don't think they catch those from the beach.
No, but if there was a spot to do it, that'd probably be it. They come in pretty close.
But the process is, you can do whatever you want just for fun. But if you're trying to go for a record, you cannot be under power when you're fly fishing.
That's correct. So the boat has to be in neutral. Like I said, there's a lot of rules about the leader and the tippet. The bite guard can only be a foot long. Your class tippet has to be at least 15 inches long. And I believe the biggest line class in fly fishing is 20-pound test. So that makes things difficult.
You got a 150-pound fish on 20-pound test. That would make it difficult.
That takes a while.
Yeah.
So, basically, you can bait and switch them, and that, it takes a whole orchestration of things to happen, but, you're trolling a skirted bait or something like that to kind of give it color that matches your fly. And when the marlin comes up and starts slapping at it, the boat's thrown in neutral, the hookless teaser is pulled it as fast as you can, and then the fly is thrown out on the other side of the weight. Mm-hmm. Hope that marlin turns on that and takes
Right. The old bait and switch.
The bait and switch.
Yeah.
And that's, we got lucky last week. We got a nice one on the fly.
Yeah.
A big pink popper. So it was fun.
Wow. Anyway, we started talking earlier about the crossover effect, where a lot of conventional anglers are starting to realize that fly fishing is a very effective way to catch fish.
Yeah, effective and fun. I mean, that's, I think, what it boils down to is, I'm not saying that bait or spin, everything has its challenges, and I think it's a different challenge when you're using a light rod and light line, and it just adds to the spectrum of, techniques you can use to catch fish and just, keep the fun going. Hey, if it's getting easy on bait, change it up, make it a little more difficult, try something new.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not certainly not an expert fly angler, but I know that there was a friend of mine, Pat Wardlaw, that he's a purist.
Mm-hmm.
And which means that he doesn't do anything except tie his own flies from artificials. And we've gone out fishing for calico bass, and we had he's getting up there a little bit, but he can still throw it probably 100 feet. But I would use live anchovies, and he would throw a fly, and he would outfish me 2-1 every time.
That's good numbers.
Yeah. Yeah.
I find that there's an advantage to it with rooster fish sometimes, too, because, they're moving so fast and they see so well and check things out that you have the advantage of pulling that fly out of the water and only presenting it when they're in attack mode and getting it right in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
Where sometimes if the rooster fish are, on one side of the boat, you've got to drag that bait around them. You have stand a good possibility of scaring them with the boat, you know what I mean, or reel it in and pitch something out to them. A fly, you can do it really quick.
So the process that we're talking about, we mentioned it, but let's kind of go over it real quick. So you're on a boat, and you might be trolling with live bait or teasers, And when it's like I mentioned, the rooster fish, it's kind of like a torpedo or a cruise missile. You can just kind of see it coming with a comb on top. Mm-hmm. And as it starts getting close to the tease or the bait, you yank that out of the water and throw the fly right in front of it. And then in the meantime, you have to take the boat out of gear.
Yeah, I mean, that's with rooster fish, that's a more it's less common technique. You know, usually, like I said, it's sardines. Or, you know, my favorite is getting them from the beach, just sight casting to them right off the beach where you're not using anything. You're just kind of in their environment and, you know, they're following the school of ladyfish or something like that. And you're following the school and you can time it right when they come in and attack those. You put your fly in the right place. You know, it's really knowing how they're acting in the water and what they're after and knowing, you know, the tides and where they're going to be at certain times. And of course, a lot of luck.
Now,
but,
when,
you know, if those things don't happen, you've got other tactics like bait switch and using live bait to bring them in.
Now, when you're talking about surface casting, are you using an ATV or do you walk up and down or what do you do?
You know, a lot of guys use ATVs. I've got a Jeep. My favorite is just to go out in a spot where I know they frequent. A lot of times it's a point where there's a steep drop-off and you've got ladyfish moving up and down along the beach. I like to just put up a shade and bring a cooler and a chair and sit and wait
really?
For them on that
oh.
spot. Yeah, because, you know, if you pick the right spot or if you know a beach that's got ladyfish moving up and down.
Well,
but
you were talking about East Cape and the Bay of the Palms. They've got like 5 miles of flat sandy beach. And,
there you
it's
go.
Beautiful.
That's a great environment.
And, yeah, and it's perfect for an ATV.
Yeah.
Even though you're not supposed to do it, but we're not going to go there.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, like I said, if you can find a beach that has ladyfish on it or bait moving up and down it, you really don't need to chase them like that. You can just find their spots after years of going there that I know where these fish are going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just dependent on the tide and
well, I know you spend a lot of time in Mexico, but when you're fly fishing, what would be your let's say the top two or three preferences of what would you like to go after?
Well, rooster fish number one, and I live in Oregon. I steelhead fish, so that would have to be number two. But you know, that's pretty much how I spend my time. Going from rooster fish to steelhead, and I'd fill in the cracks with some stripers on the East Coast and maybe some trout fishing.
Well, you know, when you make fly fishing rods, you got to make sure they work, right?
That's right. A lot of R&D to take place.
There you go. No, that's awesome. But anyway, it does, as we kind of come back to again, is that there a lot of conventional anglers are coming to find out that fly fishing is certainly in a lot of cases more effective. And even we're talking about last week about the bass anglers.
Uh-huh.
And apparently in the tournament, you can use whatever you want. But the rod has to be under 8 feet.
Right. So, the fly rods, they're starting to come out with fly rods just for that bass form that are under 8 feet.
Oh, okay. So are you doing any of those?
We have a couple in the prototype stage right now for that.
Okay.
So just for tournament fishing.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Right. Well, because it was said when you're throwing, you know, bass fishing to me, it's like, you know, you cast 1,000 times to catch 2 fish, but if you can just lift up the rod and reposition the fly instead of cranking it all the way in and then casting it back out again, you can cover a lot more territory.
Right, and you know, if you're a lot of times bass will take surface stuff. I don't know how else you're going to fish a surface plug. You know, well, I guess you can throw some surface plugs like that, but fly, you can make some great fly patterns that are skate on the surface like mice or frogs and things like that.
Okay.
That have some amazing action. So it's a great way to fish like that.
Well, I think you got some people excited. You got me excited, especially about those rooster fish.
It's a fun way to fish.
There you go. Okay,
yeah.
Well, we're going to have to go to a break, so we appreciate you coming on and spending all that extra time with us, James. And
that
is Beulah Fly Rod. So it's, was it B-E-U-L-A-H?
Yep, Beulah Fly Rods, and you can see us at BeulahFlyRods.com.
Perfect. All right, and it's a great rod, great value. Thank you, James.
Thank you very much, Tom.
We'll be back with you on FishTalkRadio.com.
Founded in 1697 as the capital of Las Californias, Loreto is a relaxing small Baja town with an international airport. Beautiful sandy beaches with snorkeling and fishing is available just in front of your resort. Old world charm, hospitality, and you will love the people and moderate climate. The Villa del Palmar at the Islands of Loreto, a luxury resort on the Sea of Cortez, is hosting its first Dorado tournament the end of June. Very affordable, lots of prizes, and world-class fishing. Contact Fish Talk Radio or Villa del Palmar, Loreto, and get your team together. Many other activities are also available. Fly into Loreto and a van will pick you up. Enjoy the great fishing, golf, exploring, water sports, or the spa. The Villa del Palmar will give you the best Baja at surprising value. Enter the first Villa del Palmar Loreto's Dorado Tournament. Stay at the resort or we can recommend many fine accommodations. Villa del Palmar, Loreto.com.
If your feet are happy, you are happy. Soft Science Supreme Comfort outdoor footwear will give you happy feet. Durable, lightweight, and supportive, Soft Science footwear is designed for boating, fishing, or everyday comfort and performance. With history of highest quality, you will be proud to own this revolutionary footwear. SoftScience.com has many types and styles you need to check out. Invest in quality footwear, and you will be happy for many years. Find out why at SoftScience.com.
The road stretches for miles in front of you. And with the Ram 1500, you'll be able to reach mile after open mile. It gets a best-in-class 25 miles per gallon highway, so your destination won't just be determined by your gas gauge, but by your gauge for achievement. And the Ram 1500 is the first-ever back-to-back Motor Trend Truck of the Year. Guts. Glory. Ram. See your local Ram dealer today for great deals. EPA estimated 25 mpg highway based on V6 4x2.
If you like the show you are listening to right now, you can listen to it and many more just like it on Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. Fishing, hunting, boating, and the rest of the great outdoors, 24/7, 365 on Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. Download the free Reno Viola's Outdoor Radio app or visit WRVORadio.com online to see the lineup and schedule. That's Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. And enjoy the great outdoors.
It's time for you to take a real fun adventure. Join a hosted fishing adventure to Alaska or Baja with the staff of Fish Talk Radio. Real Fun Adventures can book you on any adventure you desire. Bring your fishing friends or meet new ones. Fish Talk Radio gets the best deals from our sponsors to give you the best possible price. Real Fun Trips are inclusive, easy, no-worry packages to the most popular fish grounds. Trips start around $600. Go to REEL funadventures.com.
I love there's a crack in my cup from getting kicked out on the street. Stuck in a jam and I'm sucking the clam. My junk will overheat. But what I have in mind is a wet in the line. Please, I'd rather be fish.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio, and we have a special surprise guest. We have the Grizz. I'm sure.
Hey, John, how you doing up there? Everything going good down here in Mexico?
Well, from what I understand, you've been a pretty busy guy.
Yeah, John, I've been working pretty hard lately. You know, we took over the Travel Channel down here. I'm in Mexico City right now. And headed to Guadalajara next week and just having a great time.
Yeah. No, that's great. Well, it works out pretty well because you've been working hard and I've been hardly working.
That's where it always has been all my life that I've known you, John.
But we have a very special guest also on the line with us. We have Kevin from Soft Science. And you're in Colorado, aren't you, Kevin?
I am. Yep. Longmont, Colorado.
Right. And we've got some stories to tell. When about 2 weeks ago when I was in Alaska, Kevin sent me some Soft Science footwear, and I haven't taken it off since then. I even sleep with it. No, I really don't. But
yeah, I bet you do, John, because you're too lazy to even take a bath.
You know what? You can take a bath with them on.
Well, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You can do it with or without.
Yeah, but ones that, what do you call them, the mesh ones?
The fins.
Fins, yeah, yeah. But anyways, wearing those on the boat in Alaska, and, you know, they... People wear deck shoes and stuff, and they do get wet, but not that wet. But what I found out is that even when they're wet, they stayed warm. Yeah, if you get fish blood or whatever it is on them, you just rinse them off.
Well, that sounds great, John. I'm so happy for you.
Yes, yes. So anyway, let's. I'll tell you what, Grizz and Kevin, why don't you guys go ahead and have at it? And I'm going to sit here and listen to you. Now, the problem is that Kevin's had a difficult time getting a product down to you, but I think he's figured out a way to do it.
I did. I figured out we now have a distributor for all of South America that will bring in inventory and stock it, and we'll take care of Mr. Grizz. I've got it all lined up, and we'll be able to get him the shoes he wants. And we just finished a trade show in Orlando called the ICAST show, one of the largest fishing trade shows in the world.
Oh, that's
and,
the one.
Our booth was overwhelming. It was more than I could have ever imagined. We had everybody from freshwater fishermen to saltwater fishermen. We just launched two new shoes. One is a flats wader that has neoprene uppers, so when you're walking into the flats and you get rocks and shells and all that other stuff, it keeps keeps that from coming into the shoe, and it's almost like a speed shoe, like, because it's so lightweight, it drains water so fast, it just enables you to really get around in a nimble way. And then we also launched a new wet wader for fly fish. So both those shoes were just have gotten tremendous response. We're going to be in many stores coming up. We just had meetings with Cabela's and Academy. I've got Shields Sporting Goods. We've got upcoming meetings with Bass Pro and the rest of them. So it looks like we've got a pretty expanded distribution in that. And we're widely considered the most comfortable shoes, but now also they are the most slip-resistant shoes you can have when you're on the boat. So I heard many stories of people coming back having to clean their boat, and other shoes, they would slip and fall, and ours were holding them tight, and they were thanking us for that.
Well, man, you know, that sounds really great, because down here in Mexico, we really need something like that. Because, you know, I fly fish the flats, I'm out in the yachts, I'm on the beach. You know, I'm everywhere in it, and that's one of the biggest problems. And what I found to be the best thing for me is just go barefooted, because I don't find a shoe that works.
Well, but you got to have some problems with that, right? You step on a shell the wrong way.
I have problems all the time with that.
Yeah, it's probably because your feet are too big, Gris.
No, they're not. He even has my size. Yours are bigger than mine, I think, John.
We did. We're taking care of Mr. Grizz. But it's you know, we want to be, our focus on fishing is to allow you to fish longer. And our theory is if your shoe, you know, there's going to get water in your shoes. So we just want to keep the debris out. We want your shoes to drain fast. And we want your shoes to be very, very comfortable. And podiatrists have tested our shoes. And what they tell us, and this is the research coming back to us, is we're the only shoe out there that really distributes the pressure of the foot evenly across the entire footbed of the shoe. So you don't have any pressure points, which cause you to get an uncomfortableness. And what that means is it takes the pressure off your ankles, knees, and hips so that you can fish longer, whether you're on a boat, you're on a soft flat, you're fishing on a rocky stream. And one of the nice things also about our Trillium-based composite material that we use, it just eats up those rocks. So if you're fly fishing in a Rocky Mountain stream, you're stepping on light rocks, a lot of times the other wader boots will start to give and take and go right or left and put a lot of stress on your ankles. Ours don't. It's almost like they just roll right over the rocks and keep your foot stable and allow you to fish longer in a more comfortable position.
Well, it sounds really great. Because you're talking about, you know, when you're out in a rough water like I am a lot, out in blue water and it gets rough, you know what? You need something that's not going to slip and fall, because it's hard enough standing up sometimes.
It is.
You know, having shoes like that, You almost need to be like Super, or what do they call him, Spider-Man. You need to be like a gecko.
Right. Well, one of our key captains and one of the spokespeople for the company is a guy named Rick Murphy. And Rick has a couple fishing shows, and he is also a very competitive bill fisherman. And what he tells me is that, you know, unlike any shoe he's ever tried, that these shoes really grip to the boat. And when he comes back, he really appreciates them a lot because they're always cleaning their boat and getting it ready for the next tournament. And he tells me he slipped quite a few times wearing other competitors' shoes and has yet to do that in ours. So that's a true testament to our product.
Yeah. Well, you know, Kevin, Charles and I have a policy. If the fish is under 400 pounds, we fight it standing up. So believe me, a shoe is important for us.
Oh, my gosh, absolutely.
You know, and we do. That's been my son and I's policy forever. If he's under 400 pounds, we're going to fight him standing up. If he's over that, we're going to sit down. So we depend on shoes. We depend on things that we don't slip with. Then when when you get those tunas in the boat, you get that slime from the tuna in the boat, and you got another problem of you're like ice skating in a yacht. So everybody needs those kind of shoes, not only for comfort, but for safety reasons.
Absolutely, absolutely. And not knowing you did that, I have a whole newfound respect for you, Mr. Gray. That's awesome.
No, it's true. Of course, never mind. I won't go there, Gris. But,
well, John, you see me stand up there and fight those big fish.
Oh, yeah. I've seen you get 250-pound fish standing up.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow. Well, that's a testament because I went fishing after the ICAST show just to do some product testing for us, and we caught a number of large redfish, and none of them were over 100 pounds. But
redfish, 100? Wait a minute.
Redfish.
I'm sorry.
Red snappers, I guess.
You said redfish at 100 pounds?
I call them redfish. They're probably red snappers.
Oh, yeah, right. Okay, right.
I'm not going to be correct on this. Yeah. But went out with a little charter group, and I can tell you, some of those I was shocked in. It was like doing a deadlift in a gym. Mm-hmm. I'm just sitting there pulling that thing up, and you're right, Grizz. You want a shoe that's comfortable and it can lock you to the floor of the boat and doesn't pull you over, have you sliding from one side to the next.
Yeah, well, other thing is that I keep talking about this all the time, is when you buy a piece of equipment, whether it's a rod, fly rod, conventional rod, reel, line, or cooler, whatever it is, if you pay too little for it, then you've wasted your money. Now, the Soft Science shoes, they're not cheap, but they're not, you know, they're not like $200, you know, for these designer stuff. They are very reasonable.
That's correct, John. We all of our shoes are under $100, and we figure that's the key price point because, you know, we see some of the shoes and the technology in these shoes, and we want to not only meet them and exceed their technology, but with our materials, it allows us to build shoes that function properly and keep the cost reasonable. And,
yeah,
and some of the shoes out there today, you know, they're going at $150 to $200. And as we've tested them and as our kind of our pro staff, if you will, have tested them, we perform so much better than they do. And it's just tribute to our material.
Yeah. Well, I'd say we're about out of time. But also, I like the insert, because not only does it work well, it's also easy to remove and washable. And, you know, it's like somebody like Grizz with their feet stink, then they can.
Damn, well,
the good thing is, John, we are an antimicrobial surface. So even though the fungus and the bacteria may get there, it won't, your shoes won't smell. Now, his feet, I can't say much about it.
Ziggy, Grizz, I'm sorry. I just can't help myself. I'm sorry.
You miss me. That's what it is.
I know.
We haven't been together for a while.
You're right. I got to go down there soon. Anyway, it looks like we're coming to the end of this session. So you guys have been great, and we'll see if we can see what we can do. So you are listening to Fish Talk Radio. Please go to fishtalkradio.com, and you can listen to this show as many times as you want. Yeah, you can too, Grizz.